You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. You can find my work with Pro Football Focus, NBC Sports Chicago, and Bears Wire, bringing you daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we're going to hit some big picture off-season topics with the help of a few friends over at CLTV Sports Feed. Josh Friedman and Jarrett Payton, yes, son of Walter Payton, invited me to be on the CLTV Sports Feed last night, and I had a blast chatting with those guys, talking some Bears football, some NFL playoffs, a little bit of PFF stuff, and wrap up with some Super Bowl as well. Really kind of hitting a treasure trove of topics with some great back and forth on all things Bears. So I want to play for you a lot of what we talked about live on television the other night. And then I will wrap up with a little bit of a where are they now? Looking at some former Bears coaches in recent years who have actually surprisingly surpassed where you might think they would have gone, particularly coming from the Mark Trestman era. With that, I'll turn it over to Josh Friedman and Jarrett Payton with CLTV Sports Feed.
There, Lauren Cox is our guest in studio, Bears writer for Bears Wire on USA Today, host of the Locked On Bears podcast, and Pro Football Focus analyst. Nice little resume for someone that's less than a year out of college. Pretty cool.
The short version, yeah.
Yes, and we were discussing right before we went on air, Pro Football Focus. It's really gone mainstream. What's that been like to see?
It's really cool to kind of come up from, it almost feels like guys, not you know, like in your garage, like Microsoft or anything, but working your way up and kind of feeling like, okay, NFL teams first start to take notice, and now all of a sudden it's full-on partnership with NBC and really expanding to a lot of media partners.
Speaking of take notice, man, everybody, national media, talking about the NFL, the Bears were on notice and put people on notice that they are for real. Double-digit wins. I wasn't expecting that. Were you expecting that for Matt Nagy and this squad for his first year as Bears head coach?
I was more in the 9-8 type win. You take a step up from last season, but you're not necessarily all the parts coming together the way, you see like the Rams have the quick turnaround 2 years ago where everything kind of come together, and that seems like what happened this year for the Bears. They were really fortunate to be so healthy, to have everyone on defense really come together, and the offense, the accelerated learning under Matt Nagy, really just everything culminated into such a fantastic season.
We just heard from Chuck Pagano. He hasn't been a defensive coordinator in 8 seasons. Yeah. His defense is in Indy. They weren't so good. Can't pin it all on him, of course. But yeah. How should Bears fans feel about their defense under Pagano?
Yeah, certainly when you bring back this much talent, expectations are going to be really high for Chuck. And I wonder if it's almost unfair for him in that to be the top defensive, fill in the shoes of Vic Fangio. That's a really tough task for anybody, but he's worked with a lot of different staffs. He's worked in Baltimore, worked in in Indianapolis with so many different defensive coaches. I think he's a guy that players are going to get along with really, really well. And when you have the talent behind them, I think sometimes the scheme can matter a little bit less. It's players and not coaches that I think you hear the coaching staff talk all the time about. There is talent for Chuck Pagano.
I mean, he is lucky. He's inheriting a really, really
good
defense.
It's a dream job for a D coordinator.
I mean, we're looking at a defense that was, number one in a lot of the major categories. But, Lauren, I mean, to be realistic, you talked about not only just being healthy, but I think Bears fans have to be realistic. It might not happen the same way it did, last season. So that means this defense saved this offense a lot and this team a lot, but this Bears offense has to be able to step up. And I think the biggest part of that is Mitchell Trubisky and this offensive unit taking the next step next year.
Yeah, I think people tend to overlook that a little bit in the modern fantasy football and kind of individualizing every position. And I'm sure we can get caught up in that at Pro Football Focus sometimes when you're grading every player individually. But how much offenses and defenses interact with each other? That how many times, like you said, this Bears defense was able to keep the offense from having to play behind on the scoreboard and have to throw to get back into games. And we saw when this defense did struggle, that was when the offense kind of got into some situations with some back-to-back three and outs. They'd get tired out against New England and Miami and in Green Bay in week one. And I think as that offense can get better and better, it's only going to make Chuck Pagano's job that much easier.
Okay, so how does Trubisky go from a guy who I think a lot of people are lukewarm on? They see the talent, but the inconsistency also sticks out. A guy who kind of backed his way into a Pro Bowl, had some fun this weekend. Didn't look great, but look, how does he make the next jump to being a true Pro Bowl caliber quarterback year in, year out?
Well, I think for Mitch, it's about taking the steps he built this year and obviously trying to build on them in the following seasons. I think we saw a lot of progress just from week 1 to week 17. Early on, a little bit more skittish, a little bit too quick to react to pressure in the pocket and pre-snap looks from defenses. But I think being able to adjust to, you know, disguised coverages and things that defensive coordinators are going to try and do to get into his head, I think those are kind of the areas that Matt Nagy can kind of push him in as he gets more comfortable within his own offense, to be able to no longer have to think so much at the line of scrimmage and to just feel comfortable with every aspect of the play calling, every wide receiver, every tight end, every running back that he's been working with. He'll be much more comfortable with the same group of guys for a whole offseason.
Oh, definitely. He's got the weapons now. I think it comes down to Nagy and Trubisky coming together and kind of growing together, because we saw both of them having some growing pains within this offense last season. There was games, after games, Josh and I were sitting here going, Nagy didn't really call a good game. I think he's going to have to learn as well what his quarterback does the best. And I just see now with all these weapons, there's no reason why he should not take that next step next year.
That's the hope.
Yeah, and you saw the progress this year, and the idea is you keep going up on that ladder.
Speaking of Nagy, you know, George McCaskey was making the media rounds this last week, and reading one of his answers to a Q&A in the Tribune, asked about Nagy, he said, I think he showed the qualities of being a Chicago guy, even though he's not from here. There's no pretense to him. There's no put on. It was that authenticity that we've kind of been missing from a Chicago Bears head coach, and from everything from the club dub to, you know, the BU that he has, his mantra. He's a guy that Bears fans easily fell in love with, and it's not just because of the wins.
Yeah, there's a certain culture that you feel around this team that I haven't really seen in my lifetime. I know I'm a little bit of a younger guy, but it's something about how connected they are, not only to the players, between the players and coaches, but seems more connected to the fan base and being able to play up some of those things. And they're still not the biggest social media team in the NFL, but you still see them really connect better with those kind of groups and with, you know, getting people really fired up about this team and connected to this team in a way that I don't think we saw under John Fox or Mark Trestman, and even probably not back until the earlier days of Lovie Smith.
Yeah, I mean, it was big. And not only that, I think what made it a lot easier was having a guy like Vic Fangio, who was there to kind of take care of that defense, let him kind of focus on that offense. And I think it's huge now to have a guy with Chuck Pagano, who has head coaching experience, to now take over this defense. So not only just by helping and just managing the defense, but also maybe questions that Matt Nagy might have down the line or things that he might want to get better at as a head coach.
And Pagano seems like the perfect fit from a culture standpoint. Yeah. When you heard him at his press conference, really kind of work in the media a little bit. He sets a few funny lines in there and really seemed to connect with not only, you know, the media members, but being able to have that same kind of identity and mentality as Matt Nagy when it comes to how to run a team and how to work with players.
All right, we got to squeeze in a timeout.
Oh,
we got more
on,
Bears,
man,
and some Super Bowl talk coming up after this break. Lauren Cox, our guest from Pro Football Focus and Bears Wire. We'll do that after this timeout.
On the next segment with Josh and Jarrett, we're going to get into some more Bears topics and then look ahead to the Super Bowl. And speaking of the big game, it's not too late to get your bets in for Sunday's matchup at mybookie.ag. Like we always say, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we say whether you're experienced or a rookie, you should be betting with MyBookie. They've got all the fun prop bets you could possibly imagine. Everything from every possible stat over under on everything Tom Brady could do. Who's going to score the first touchdowns? How many rushing yards is Todd Gurley going to have? I mean, what's going to be the jersey number of the first player who scores? I mean, it is a laundry list of bets you can lay down this Sunday at MyBookie. Join now and they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's LOCKEDON at MyBookie, where you play, you win, you get paid.
Back on Sports Feed, Jared Payton, Josh Friedman, hanging out with Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus and Bears Wire at Cox Sports 1 on Twitter. You know, speaking of PFF, y'all love some Adrian Amos. You guys have graded him highly now for a couple of years. He's one of those free agents for the Bears. I think he reportedly was using the PFF grade in his contract negotiations from what I read. Should the Bears make it a point to try to re-sign him? How valuable is he?
That's two separate questions. Should they make a point and how valuable is he? Because there is some real question, I think, you know, in the second one in particular, that I think, you know, the continuity defensively is really important, and being able to kind of balance the contrasting styles a little bit of Eddie Jackson with Adrian Amos, there could be some sort of added value there that you can't just find from plugging some free agent in there. But as far as how valuable his play style is, I think is a little bit of a different discussion. He's not the ball-hawking safety. He's not necessarily the big-time playmaker, but he is incredibly consistent at doing what he's asked to do. And it's obviously not going to be, you know, you're not going to get the type of Eddie Jackson year from him. That's just not the player he is. But when you know what you get from him, and he's been in the system, you've developed him here, and he's homegrown talent. That's what Ryan Pace has talked quite a bit about in building this team, not wanting to have to replace guys in free agency. You find a gem like this in the fifth round, you know, you hope maybe you can get a little bit of a hometown discount to bring him back, but there's a lot of value there. It's just a matter of, you know, is he going to be worth the price tag he might be looking for as a young safety hitting that open market?
I think that's the biggest thing. But also, too, I mean, you can't take away that there's something to say for his play and the play of Eddie Jackson as well. And having another, especially a younger safety back there feeling comfortable, listen, I don't know how much money that's going to cost you, but it definitely seemed that both those guys were on the same page when my man Deion Bush was back there. Didn't have that same feel as when Amos was back there and those guys were playing together. And we saw Eddie Jackson have a monster year going to his first Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and I think from a defensive standpoint, when you can find someone who's consistent like that, I mean, it's valuable to retain that talent. I mean, anything but Amos is going to be an unknown to some extent. You know, you look across the free agent safety market, there's some names there, but if you want someone who's going to be as consistent as Amos, even if maybe there's higher potential, I mean, you're going to have to pay on the open market, and maybe you can get something a little bit cheaper from Adrian and at least, again, maintain that secondary continuity with, you know, your entire starting secondary coming back, although Bryce Callahan's another discussion, but so much continuity on this defense. When a new coach is coming in, having all those players can really help.
Guess what? You want to help out some safeties and corners? You know what you got
to
do?
Get to the quarterback.
Yeah, get to the quarterback.
Well,
had a pass rusher. Bears have that, and 52 is, I don't even know what to say about 52, man. Khalil Mack is, it's one of those things that I prayed for and hoped for. I told my wife I didn't need a Christmas present. I already got one, and it was sent by John Gruden, so thank you, Gruden. Appreciate you.
Yeah, and it's with Khalil Mack, it's like I run out of things to say. Like, what can you say about how great he is that hasn't already been said? It's just does everything at such a high level. Gets after the quarterback, stops the run, and it's just an instant leader on this defense. It's really, I mean, I don't know even what else to add to it.
I think what we can add is the guy missed two games, and he didn't have a training camp, and he was still such a monster. Can you imagine him with a full camp and a healthy season? He could approach 20 sacks. I know he's never done it in his career, and he could be that guy that could get to 20 sacks or approach the 18-19 sack number. I think we're just seeing a guy who, It's not scratching the surface. He is there, but he has another level to get to.
Also, what scared me was is coming into the season and not having a training camp. You never know what's going to happen. You know, you think of those serious injuries. Like, for him to be able to even miss those two games still, I mean, we saw from game one how big of a difference maker he was going to be. And he changed not only the dynamics of the defense, but like the whole vibe of this whole team, because everybody's like, man, we got someone to get to the quarterback. And we even saw it even, you know, with Leonard Floyd as well, who started to get more comfortable as the season went on. He started to find out a little bit more. When you have a guy that's getting double teamed on that side, gives you a lot of options to be able to have one-on-one rushes.
He's one of those players, like we talk about Pro Football Focus and, you know, evaluating an individual player. It's so hard to measure his impact on everybody else. I mean, he almost single-handedly contributes to Akeem Hicks getting to the Pro Bowl. And, you know, like you talked about, the pass rush affecting the secondary, allowing those guys to get aggressive and jump on routes and trusting that their pass rush is going to get home. It's like with all the attention Khalil Mack has, it makes Hicks, Floyd, Goldman, et cetera, makes their jobs easier. Then when they get a better pass rush, it makes the secondary's job easier. And then as the defense plays well, it makes the offense's job easier. So it's amazing how you can add one player and really affect the other 21 guys in your starting lineup.
That's what happens when we add Josh to the show, man. Just made everything easier.
Whoa, wait a second.
Appreciate you, bro.
What do you think happens to this Bears running attack? Does Jordan Howard, does he fall out of favor here? It felt like he was not a match for the Matt Nagy offense. And obviously the guy that everyone's talking about now is Kareem Hunt. And what do you think it tells you that the Bears brass hasn't shut that door yet?
Yeah, certainly it feels like they're maybe setting the stage, or at least, you know, kind of starting on the PR storm a little bit early, so it's not as much of a firestorm if they're going to go ahead and do that. But from a Jordan Howard standpoint, It seemed like as the year went on, Matt Nagy started to figure out his running back a little bit more. You look at from a scheme standpoint, early on Matt Nagy was trying to institute a lot more gap and power schemes that he ran in Kansas City, and Jordan Howard's always been much more of a zone-style running back. But as you look at from a scheme standpoint, as the year goes on, the Bears got more and more zone-heavy as you got to the end of the year, and that's when you saw his yards per carry go up. He had a couple of those big games down the stretch and made the team feel like they had a little bit more of a running game going into the playoffs, and I give Matt Nagy credit for identifying how his player should best be used and implementing that down the stretch.
Yeah, I think they had a hard time just figuring out this running game, but you have to figure it out. I mean, if it's going to be a guy like Kareem Hunt or finding someone in the draft, we know they'll find a way to be able to put a back there. So this weekend, Super Bowl, man.
Got a game this weekend,
Tom Brady going up against Jared Goff, man. That steering contest that they had that we have have in our later
segment. Caption this, later on, yeah.
I can't wait to show you my caption. But Tom Brady, I mean, what do you guys say more about the GOAT? I mean, but going up and seeing that they're going to his ninth appearance in a Super Bowl is just phenomenal.
Yeah, and we just talked about the running game. How critical is that going to be? And how critical has that been for Tom Brady? Getting a fullback back there a lot more often than a lot of other teams. Multiple tight ends in there. You mentioned earlier Gronkowski taking a little bit more of a blocking type role. They've been a team that's been able to really pound the football in the playoffs, and I think we're going to see them try and do that against Los Angeles, and the Rams and Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson are going to do the same thing. So I'm curious to see how much each team focuses on trying to shut down the running game and put the other quarterback in position to have to win the game.
Yeah, what Gurley are we going to see on Sunday? Because, yeah, Anderson's been the guy, and you know Gurley had a good game against Dallas, but Anderson still had more carries, more yards, scored 2 touchdowns than last week, 5 touches for Gurley.
Yeah, and it's tough because if you're Sean McVay, you're not trying to force one player into necessarily, you know, make sure he gets his 5 touches or his 10 touches. I mean, you have to do what's successful for your offense, no matter what the name is on the back of the jersey. And so far, the Rams have been able to have success with a number of different guys back there. And if it's working, you know, if it's not broken, don't try and fix it.
Who do you like in the game?
It's really hard for me to bet against the New England Patriots in a Super Bowl unless Eli Manning is under center on the other side. So
Nick Foles.
Or Nick Foles. It's got to be a weird quarterback thing. Maybe Jared Goff gets hurt and the Rams pull off the comeback. But Tom Brady.
Sean Mannion or something? Yeah.
Yeah, Sean Mannion, MVP.
And I want to again thank Josh Friedman and Jarrett Payton for having me on CLTV's sports feed the other night. But that's not the end of Locked On Bears today. So up next, we're going to look at the coaching staff under Mark Trestman that has quietly gone on to bigger and better things and quite a bit of success in the NFL and college football. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. So this week leading up to the Super Bowl is always a bit of a media frenzy and coaches and players going around doing interviews and usually promoting some kind of product or company or organization at the process. But regardless, I was particularly intrigued by a story Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune wrote up about Aaron Cromer, the former Bears offensive coordinator under Mark Trestman, who you may remember got in some pretty big trouble because it was him who had reached out to the NFL Network on a report that was particularly critical of Jay Cutler, kind of blaming him for a lot of the things that happened with the team. And it was fairly quickly revealed that Cromer was the source of that report, and I believe he was fired as a result of that, you know, during the season, and it was a pretty embarrassing moment for Cromer. But it didn't end up costing him his career, and he's now the offensive line coach for the Los Angeles Rams, potentially pushing here for a Super Bowl ring. And it brought up a bigger point about the rest of that Mark Trestman coaching staff. And there were some nice quotes from Aaron Cromer in the story, kind of learning from his mistakes and admitting his wrongs and complimentary of the job Ryan Pace has done and what the Bears did when they played the Rams earlier this year. But again, it brought up this bigger point of looking at the rest of that Mark Trestman coaching staff. A lot of those assistants have seen a lot of success and, you know, moved up for the most part in the profession and kind of getting their coaching ranks moving up in the world of football. It's strange how almost across the board you see guys having success. And that's not typically something you associate with bad coaching regimes, that the team struggled so much at the end of that Mark Trestman era, it really imploded down the stretch. And typically you see those types of coaching staffs really be filled with assistants that just don't really have much of a future in front of them. But that was not the case for Mark Trestman's staff. You look at the coordinators, obviously, Kromer with the Rams at offensive line coach. It's a step backward, but pushing for the Super Bowl is always a nice move there. Defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, who I think every Bears fan loved to hate, he is now the head coach at the University of Colorado. He was the defensive coordinator at Georgia before that, and he seems to be working his way back up. And then special teams coordinator that year, Joe DeCamillis, had left the Bears for the Denver Broncos the following year and won a Super Bowl under Gary Kubiak there, and was a special teams coordinator for 2 years there and is now in Jacksonville. So he got a ring pretty quickly after leaving Chicago. I believe linebackers coach Reggie Herring also followed him to Denver and got that Super Bowl ring. So, I mean, you're already looking at your coordinators moving on to success at their respective spots, but then you start looking at the position coaches. Quarterbacks coach under Trestman was Matt Kavanaugh, you may remember. He is now the offensive coordinator in Washington, working with Alex Smith or whatever is left of Alex Smith and his knee issues. You know, you look running backs coach Skip Pete, also with Aaron Kromer on the Los Angeles Rams pushing for that Super Bowl title. Offensive line coach Pat Meyer is the Chargers offensive line coach. Wide receivers coach Mike Groh got the Super Bowl last year with the Philadelphia Eagles as their wide receivers coach and got to take over as offensive coordinator after John DeFilippo left for the Vikings offensive coordinator job. So he's moving up. And even Mel Tucker's heavily criticized and somewhat, I don't know if disgraceful is too strong of a word, but one of the worst Bears defenses in recent history, even his assistant coaches have had some success since leaving Chicago. Defensive line coach Paul Pasqualoni is actually now the Detroit Lions defensive coordinator under Matt Patricia. And their assistant defensive line coach, Clint Hurt, he was the one that stuck around with the Vic Fangio era, was promoted to outside linebackers coach to help Willie Young and Pernell McPhee and Lamar Houston kind of make that transition here to the Bears 3-4 defense. He left to the Seattle Seahawks to take their defensive line coach job and added the assistant head coach title along with that. So he's a guy who could be continuing an upward trend there. And then secondary coach John Hoke, who was a holdover from the Lovie Smith defensive era, he had a few rough times in between the years immediately following the Trestman era, but he is now the defensive coordinator at the University of Maryland. So you're really looking at almost legitimately every single positional coach as an assistant, either keeping the same title with a different team and having success, or moving on to being, you know, winning Super Bowls or taking better positions in other opportunities. I mean, I think literally the only position coach that I didn't mention that doesn't seem to have much of a improvement from here is Andy Bischoff, the tight ends coach, but we literally hit, I believe, every other position there, and it gives some credit to Mark Trestman. I mean, not defending anything he did during his era in Chicago, but clearly he found a way to acquire coaching talent that other coaching staffs have gone on to value and have success with, and maybe it lends some credence to the idea that it was both a head coach and talent problem, but not so much an assistant coach problem. Although even, you know, Mark himself did go on to win another Grey Cup in the CFL, so, I mean, he too had some personal success, although you may note he was just fired recently, you know, within the last couple months, for a 4-14 season with the Toronto Argonauts. So not necessarily doing super great for himself, but especially when you look at the talent that was on that Bears 2014 roster, it's really a lot of guys that dropped out of the NFL pretty quickly after leaving Chicago. So it's surprising to see the coaching staff have that success, but credit to this organization for being able to find those guys and to be able to, you know, at least have the Chicago Bears on their resume not be a total, you know, negative blotch, that good coaches have come through here even when the team has struggled with perhaps the wrong head coach at the helm. But just kind of a little interesting off-season note here as we keep up with where are they now for these former Bears coaches. They're working their way in the right direction, and clearly the Bears are feeling pretty good about the coaches they have on staff now, and I'm sure sometime down the line, we may hear about the future success of some of Vic Fangio's assistants, as we've seen him already move on to bigger and better things. And as this Bears offense continues to grow under Nagy, his assistants should garner some interest as well. So good coaches continue to be pumped out of Chicago. And no matter what's going to happen with this Bears coaching staff, we will be all over it for you right here on your favorite daily Chicago Bears podcast. Make sure you keep up with all of our shows by subscribing on whatever app it is you use to listen to podcasts. We're on pretty much anything, and if you have an app that we're not on and you'd like to make sure we're on there, feel free to reach out, whether it's on Twitter at Locked On Bears, on Facebook, the Locked On Bears Facebook page, or the private Locked On Bears Facebook group. For listeners just like you who want even more Bears talk with your fellow Bears fan, just search Locked On Bears group on Facebook, and you can request to join the nearly, what, we're getting up closer to 300 of us talking Bears, trying to get through this offseason together. And it can be a little bit of a struggle sometimes, but you know what? You have to find the football where you can. You have to stick together and bear down.